Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and Hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omeika 7 live coming to you from my studio. And I'd like to just welcome each and every one of you and thank you so much for coming on today. Today is Saturday, and this is going to be our History Channel Day for our children. We'll be doing storytelling and reading of some of the traditional African stories and fables. So, you can bring the children out, let them be a part so that they can listen to the story. And we encourage you to come in and read your stories as well. Ladies and gentlemen, we are still talking about family time and things we can do in the family to make it more spiritual. And mothers, you need to understand that good literacy in the home is very, very vital. It's very vital to the family. And storytelling should be a part of your lifestyle. And every parent should have a good fable to read. And I'd like to recommend The People That Could Fly by American Folktales by Virginia Hamilton. That is the one that I recommend. And it is a family favorite. And families usually like to bring that into their reading. And if you haven't gotten a copy of it, you can go and check it out at the library. It's available for you to check out at the library. And ladies and gentlemen, we want to open up our chat rooms so that we can have people writing in and talking about their favorite stories and being a part of our chat room as well. We encourage you to be a part of that. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a station identification. We need to do a little house cleaning. And we ask that you would come in and be a part of our chat and our discussion. And for those of you who have some tales of your own that you've actually created, we'd like for you to come in and try your hand at telling your stories, too. We're just trying to slow it down a little bit. Today is Saturday, and we're moving away a little bit from our topic, but we want to create a family environment and a family time so that we can actually keep those stories coming to you. So why don't you take a break, go back and get your cookies and your milk and sit back and bring the children in so you can be a part of the story time. And this particular story time is an original storytelling that will be done from your own Omi. And ladies and gentlemen, I see that we have a little problem in the background that we're going to go and take care of. And we ask that you would be a part of helping us out by doing whatever you have to do and take a station identification, and we'll be right back at you in a few minutes. So hold tight. We're having a little technical difficulty. Hold tight. Thank you. I think we're getting back on the air here. Just a little technical difficulty. Every now and then we get some of those things that happen. Nothing that we can't straighten out. If you just bear with me, so how's the family? How are the children? And we invite the children in today. Today is their day. Today is Saturday. We invite the children in to be a part of the story time. And if there's any children out there in the audience, go and get your parents and tell your parents that you're going to be a part of the show and ask your parents to come in and read with you as well. Okay, we're back on, and we're going to get a drum roll here for our storytelling. And we're going to do things a little bit different today because we want to save most of the time for our story time. So we'll get a short drum roll, ladies and gentlemen. Why don't you join us? Back, family, and welcome to the Care to Read Room. This particular feature is on traditional African storytelling, and we will be doing a variety of different tales on Saturday. We might even do poems, storytelling, riddles, and narratives, but today we're going to do African traditional storytelling. And if you'd like to join us, please come right in and join us. This particular story is coming from The People That Can Fly, American Black Folktales by Virginia Hamilton, and also illustrated by Leon and Diane Dillon. The story is called A Wolf and Little Daughter. One day, little daughter was picking some flowers. There was a fence around the house she lived in with her papa. Papa didn't want little daughter to go running in the forest, where there were wolves. He told little daughter never to go out of the gate alone. Oh, Papa, I won't go out of the gate. Oh, Papa, I won't, said little daughter in that sweetest, goodest voice. One morning, Papa had to go away for something, and little daughter thought she'd go hunting for some flowers. She just thought she would go hunting for some flowers, and it wouldn't harm anything. She peeped through the gate, and that's what she began to do. As she peeped through the gate, she saw a wild yellow flower so near. It was so near she could almost touch it. So near to the gate that she stepped outside and picked it. Little daughter was outside the fence now. Oh, no. She saw another pretty flower. She began to reach for that, too. She skipped over and got it and put it in her hand. She held it in her hand very tight. It smelled so sweet. She saw another, and she got that one, too. She put it in the other hand. She was making a pretty good bunch to put in her vase for the table. And little daughter got farther and farther away from the cabin, going against what her papa had told her. She picked the flowers, and the whole time she sang this little song. All at once, little daughter heard a noise. She looked up and saw a great big wolf The wolf said to her in a low, gruff voice, he said to her, "Sing that sweetest, goodest song that you always sing. Why don't you sing that song?" So the little girl sang that song. Trebla, trebla, trebla kumqua, trebla kumqua ko. And picked and went back and she heard pitty-pat, 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 pitty-pat. Little daughter tiptoed toward the gate herself. She's gone back home. She's trying to get home. But she hears big footsteps going pitty-pat, 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 coming right behind her. And there's a wolf. He said, "Doo-doo-doo," in a gruff voice like that. Little daughter said, "Oh, no, dear wolf, what occasion would I have to move? What for?" "Well, sing that good and sweet song that you always sing. Sing it again," said the wolf. Little daughter sang that song. Trebla, trebla, kumqua, trebla, kumqua. And the wolf is gone again. The child goes back some. And she goes back some more. Pitty-pat, 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 pitty-pat. Softly on tippy-toes this time towards her gate. But she saw and heard something. But she soon heard a very loud pitty-pat, pitty-pat, pitty-pat coming right behind her. It was a big old wolf. And there is the great big wolf standing right behind her, and he says to her, "I thank you, Mom. Did you know?" "Oh, no, wolf. Oh, no," said the little daughter in a tiny, sweet voice. "What occasion would I have to move? Why would I want to do that?" So he said, "Well, sing that sweetest, goodest song that you always sing. Sing that song again." So little daughter began to sing that song. Trebla, 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 kumqua ke, trebla. The wolf is gone. But pitty-pat, 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 coming behind her just like that, there was a wolf. He says to her, "You moved, didn't you?" She says, "Oh, no, wolf. What occasion would I have to move on you? Why would I want to move?" "Well, sing that sweetest, goodest song that you always sing. Why don't you sing that song again?" says wolf.
"Trebla, trebla, 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 kumque, trebla."
The wolf is gone again. And she, the little daughter, went pitty-pat, 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 pitty-pat away home. She is so close to the gate now. And this time she hears pitty-pat, 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 pitty-pat coming up on her heels so quickly like that behind her. Little daughter slipped inside the gate. She shed grippity, rackety, cricket right in front of the big bad wolf's face. Slam! She's sweetest, goodest home now. Pitty-pat, pitty-pat, pitty-pat.
Trebla, trebla, kumwe, trebla, kumwe.
She sang that song. Now she knew the wolf could not get her. She was safely at home where she belonged. The end. I hope you like that story, boys and girls. That story is a well-known story that's done for children all over the world. Now, we have some other stories that we like to tell you. And one of my favorite is Brer Rabbit. And I'm going to see if I can get a story for you on Brer Rabbit. Brer Rabbit is a famous, famous story. Brer Rabbit and the Wolf. Well, you know, Brer Rabbit does a lot of stuff. Let's do one on Brer Alligator Meets Trouble. I think we did that one before. Let me see if I could find one on Burr Rabbit and Burr Bear. Burr Rabbit and Lizard, I see that one. Let's see if we can find one on Burr Rabbit and Burr Bear. Here we go. Doc Rabbit, Burr Fox, and Ta Baby, one of my favorites. Her telling all Doc Rabbit and Brother Fox, they were building a house, and they kept a crock of cream in the bubbling brook down below the house they building. Every once in a while, Doc Rabbit got thirsty, and he'd holler like this, aside he'd say, Brother Fox, would you know who it was? Who's calling like that? Scared Burr Fox to death. Who is that calling? Who is there? Burr Fox said. Sounds like somebody's calling bad, says Doc Rabbit. Well, can't you tell what they want, Burr Fox? Can you tell? Can't tell nothing. I'm not looking to see either, said Doc Rabbit. Oh, but yet the doc. You're the doctor. You've got to go see. You're the doctor. Yet you're the doctor. Why don't you go down here and see? You better go on and see, said Burr Fox. So Doc Rabbit went off down to the bubbling brook where the water rippled, keeping the cream cool. He drank a long drink of sweet cream. Then he went back to tell Burr Fox with the house what was going on. Who was it calling like that? Who was it calling, Burr Fox? Just stirring, calling me was all it was, says Doc Rabbit. So Doc Rabbit got down to work, but the sun was hot and he came thirsty again. He went about calling out the side of his mouth something like this. Who's calling? Who's calling like that? Who's calling so scared like that? Said Burr Fox, trembling. Who could that be? Somebody's calling me for help, I suspect, Doc Rabbit said. But I'm sure it's not going down there this time. No, it won't be me. I'm not going down there this time. You've got to go. You've got to go. You have to. You're the only doctor out here. You've got to go. Go ahead on. Go ahead on, Brother Fox. Big Doc Rabbit went down to the brook. The water was so cool and rippling, and it kept the crock of cream warm, so fresh and cool. Doc Rabbit drank again, half of the cream this time. Then he drank back and went back up to the house. Then he went back up to help Brother Fox with the hard labor and raising the roof. Brother Fox said, what was that name of the one calling this time? Calling so hard, like, who was he? Name about half done calling. That's who it was, murmured Doc Rabbit. Name about half done calling. Whew. This work is a hard labor, I tell you. The rabbit toiled and sweated until his fur was wringing wet. He took off his fur coat, too. He wrung it out and put it back on, but that didn't even cool him off any. He says over his shoulder, saying, sort of like that. The fox says, look around. Somebody else is calling. Not a rabbit. Somebody else is calling. I'm sure I'm not going down there this time, said Doc Rabbit. I'm not going. It won't be me. I just can't go back down there. I just can't, he said. I just say, right here. I'm going to stay right here this time. I'm not going. You got to go, though. But you got to go, said Burr Fox. You got to go head on because you're the doctor. Folks need you today. So Doc Rabbit, scurry down to the Ripple Brook. It was nice by the water. It was cool, real cool. He set himself down, took up the crock of tea. He drank it all down this time. Then he went off on his way. Fox still suspicious. He went down there, saw the queen was all gone. Oh, was he mad. He lifted up his head and said, oh, God, why did he have to come drink all the queen? Like that. He filled up the crock this time with some lemon and sugar. He said, I'm going to catch me a rabbit this time. He filled it up with lemon and sugar water that he had. He knew rabbit was after anything cold and sweet. I'm going to catch me a rabbit this time. Thinking I'll catch me a doctor and a hare together, Fox says to himself, I'll get him. That's right. I'll get him this time. Next, he made a little baby out of the tar that he had. The baby looking just like a baby rabbit. He named it Tar Baby and set it right there on the water ridge. Bird Fox went back up to the hill and he worked on his house. He thought he might keep the house and keep the work going. So he began to work at the house. And Doc Rabbit was there, bending over, working and lifting. He had been so badly thirsty that he didn't know what to do. Doc Rabbit was being bad, so bad, and he did not know that Brother Fox was on to what he was doing. Doc Rabbit came back for a drink. He scurried around, and he peeked down to see what was going on. He saw the crock of cream, and he thought it was full of cream. He said, it's full. I'll take a drink. So he, first of all, looked at the little tar baby. Tar baby just sitting there. He gazed at the tar baby, gazed out of one eye, and he gazed out on the water as he looked. What you doing here, tar baby? What are you doing here? Rabbit asked tar baby. Tar baby wouldn't say a thing. Wouldn't even move a muscle. Too stuck up to talk, huh? Why aren't you saying anything? You better speak to me, Tar Baby, right now, Doc Rabbit said, or I'll have to hurt you. Don't make me have to hurt you. But the Tar Baby wasn't going to speak. He wasn't going to speak to strangers at all. He wouldn't say a thing. So Doc Rabbit kicked Tar Baby with his left hind foot. Foot got stuck. Yes, it did. Woo! Turn me loose. You better turn me loose, Tar Baby. Turn me loose. The rabbit cried. You better go ahead and loose me. Turn me loose, Tar Baby. Tar Baby stayed right there and stared still, gazing at the water, looking out over the ribbit water. So Doc Rabbit kicked him with his right foot. Oh, no, I'm stuck again. You better let me loose, Tar Baby. You better let me loose, Doc Rabbit said. I got another good foot to hit you with, Tar Baby. And Tar Baby said nothing. He gazed at the water, looking far off on the water on the other side. Doc Rabbit kicked Tar Baby with another foot. And that foot got stuck, staying right in his stomach. It got stuck. Better turn me loose, Tar Baby. You better turn me loose, Rabbit Holler. Turn me loose. Getting untied is so hard. Rabbit hollered and hollered, and he was scared now, shaking now, saying, I got one left. And here it comes. I'm getting ready to give it to you. You better turn me loose. He kicked that Tar Baby with the one foot left. And that got stuck also, just like the other three. Well, 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 said Doc Rabbit. Well, shaking like his legs were off, shaking his head and looking at the tar baby. Oh, you better turn me loose now, tar baby. Tar baby gazed on the water, watching out for the pretty bird. Well, I still got my head. Don't you think I'm going to use my head? Doc Rabbit said. I'm mad now. I'm really mad. I'm mad now. I'm going to hit you with my head. Here it comes. I'm going to hit you. He used his head on the little tar baby, butted him in his head in the tar baby's stomach as hard as he could. Doc Rabbit had got stuck clear up to his eyes. His big rabbit ears were holding in the tar baby's stomach. That was the way tar baby found, that was the way that Bird Fox found him. Doc Rabbit, Doc Rabbit, what are you doing? Doc Rabbit was stuck in tar baby. Bird Fox got him loose. He pulled him loose. Yes, he did. But he was stuck up to his ears. What must I do with you? What must I do with you? Bird Fox said. He led Rabbit along to the house, and they were building. You, the one, drink up the crock of cream. I know now. I didn't get one taste of that cream. You know that? I have a mind to burn you in the fire, too. Oh, I like fire. Go ahead on. I like fire, Doc Rabbit said. You go on. Burn me up, Fox. Just burn me up, Bird Fox. For it's my pleasure to have my coat on fire. Put my coat on fire. Just burn me up. Well, then, I won't burn you, said the fox. Burning up is too good for you, huh, grunted Doc Rabbit. He said no more. Bird Fox had him in his mouth dangling down like he was going to eat him. Then he laid the rabbit under the paws of his feet so he could speak to him. Well, think I'll throw you in the thorny bur patch. Bird Fox said, how? How could you do that? How would you like me to do that? Oh, mercy, mercy. Don't put me in the bird patch. Oh, mercy. Don't do that, cried Doc Rabbit. Whatever you do, don't let me be thrown in the bird patch. Don't you dare throw me in the bird patch, the thorny bird patch. That's what I do. That's what I'll do then. I'll throw you in the thorny bird patch. So Brother Fox said, I'll throw you in there. And that's what Brother Fox did. He sure did. Took that rabbit by the short hair and threw him rabbit right into the patch. Hot lettuce pie. This is where I want to be, Doc Rabbit hollered. This is right where I want to be. For I'm so happy. This is where I want to be. He was so happy. He was square in the middle of the bird patch. Here is my mama and my papa had me born and raised right here in the bird patch. Safe at last, safe at last. Didn't know rabbit had a home in the bird patch, did you? Bird Fox said, scratching his head, he knows it now. The end. Ladies and gentlemen, stories about animals can be so enjoyable, as you can see. For a rabbit was not really using his head. He didn't realize that tar baby wasn't real. He was fighting an image, even though the tar baby never said anything to him. Now, I want you to have your mothers and fathers to get you stories to read, and I hope you enjoyed that story. And we'd like for you to come out on Saturdays and listen to more stories with us. Our chat rooms are still open. If you have a story that you would like to read or talk about, it's very important that we should read history to our children. And there are some 300 versions of Tar Baby. The variants of the tales appear in many countries, and they tell them a little bit different. In the Bahamas, there's the elephant created the tar baby. In the Brazil, there's the old woman and the man who trapped a monkey. And in the sticky wax baby where they trapped him. And there is a version from India. And there are African versions among the Iwas and the Yoruba people, all showing the great and the great ability to read our ancestral stories and universally. And I want you to find out more. You know, long ago in a certain locality of Georgia, the tar baby was considered an actual living monstrous creature, and they thought he lived. The monster was composed of tar and hunted insulated places on a plantation, and it insulted people to the point at which they would strike out at the tar baby, but the tar baby wasn't real. Strike out at it and thus become trapped in the sticky substance. So the tar baby was used to draw people in, but most people became insulted so bad that they fought with the tar baby. So these stories can be found all over our continent, and they're told in many different ways. And mothers and fathers, why don't you go out and pick up this book from the library? And it is The People That Can Fly, American Black Folk Tales by Virginia Hamilton. It would really do you some good to introduce these stories to your children, your grandchildren. They are part of our family. We read these stories throughout our lifestyle. My children know these stories, and now I'm reading them to my grandchildren so that they will get to know them. And hopefully on Monday we'll give you another tale before we get ready for the next month coming up. We have a brand new month coming up in June, and we intend to work on two topics. And one of those topics is we're working on startup businesses, helping you to find startup businesses, giving you specialists and experts information, and with them speaking about what you need to start your own business. We'll be talking about women in business for themselves. We'll be talking about also giving and supporting women that are disabled who are in Africa, who are actually starting up their businesses, and they're starting it up off of a shoestring. And we want you to understand that just starting up businesses is not all we do. We're going to have our Saturdays dedicated to our youth. We're going to be doing some trivia, history trivia, that pertain to education for young people on Saturdays so they can tune in to the show. And we will hope that we will have more stories for you, possibly some poetry. If time would allow, we would actually have gone into some poetry today and read you some children's poems. But I hope that you can be a part of our next show, and we're going to probably read a couple of other stories from this great book here. Now, we know Burr Rabbit is a famous one, and if I had a real short one, I would try to get one in, but because of time's sake, we just cannot get any more in today. But we will tell you this. There are some other books by Rex Elias, and I think that's one of my favorites, and I talked about Viney and her free papers. I think I may do that one tomorrow if I can get my hand. Well, not tomorrow. I'm not on tomorrow. I will do that next week if I can get my hands on that book. And I would invite you to come back and be a part of our show. And for those of you who would like to come in and assist us in the chat room, we would like for you to do that and be a part of our chat room. And mothers and fathers, come in and read stories. You can come in and read stories if you like on Saturday. We'll be trying to slow it down on Saturdays a bit. I do have my grandson with me periodically. He enjoys stories. So that's why we'll be doing some stories.
Well, mother, it's a message. Got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we want to also tell you about some other books that you can go out and get. And these are two of my favorites that I'll be reading from these books possibly next week, Where the Sidewalk Ends. And that book is by Sheldon Silverstein, and also Falling Up, both books by him. And hopefully, maybe we'll get a chance to get some of his poems read actually by him. I have him on tape. And his stories are very, very good. The Sidewalking, and I'll read that one to you. They say if you step on a crack, you will break your mother's back. But that's just silly. Ha, 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 ha. Oops, flop. Sorry, Mama. This one's called Imagining. You're only just imagining. A mouse is in your hair. You've got to stop imagining that mice are everywhere. I think you're just imagining to give yourself a scare. But trust me, dear, I wouldn't lie. There is no mouse up there. This one's called Voice. There is a voice inside of you that whispers all day long. I feel that this is right for me. I know that this is wrong. No teacher, preacher, parent, friend, or wise man can decide what's right for you. Just listen to the voice that speaks inside. I like that one. Very, very good. And this was called Deadly Eye. It's the deadly eye of Pukuli Pie. Look away as you walk by, cause whatever looks right at it surely will die. It's a good thing you didn't. You did. Goodbye. This one's called Robot. My Robot. I told my robot to do my bidding. He yawned and said, you must be kidding. I told my robot to cook me a stew. He said, I got better things to do. I told my robot to sweep my shack. He said, you want me to spray my back? I told my robot to answer the phone. He said, I must be making some calls of my own. I told my robot to brew me some tea. He said, why don't you make me tea? Why don't you make tea for me? I told my robot to boil me an egg. He said, first let me hear you beg. First let me hear you beg. I told my robot there's a song you can play me. He said, how much are you going to pay me? So I told my robot, because I never knew exactly who belongs to who. I like that with cool porn. This one's called Turkey. I only ate one drumstick at the picnic dance this summer. Just one drumstick. They say I couldn't be dumber. One tough and skinny drumstick. Why was that stuck a bummer? But everybody mad at me, especially the drummer. Why is it some mornings your clothes just don't fit? Your pants are too short to bend over or sit. Your sleeves are too long and your hat is too light. Your hat is too tight. Why is it some mornings your clothes just don't fit right? This was called Little Horror. My voice was raspy, rough, and cracked. I said, I'm a little horse. They stuck a saddle on my back and jumped me. And now I'm, of course, they trotted me and they galloped me. They pranced me up and down the town, yelling, giddy up, horse. Something don't mean the way they sound. My sneaky cousin. She put in her clothes. She thought she'd get it. and a free bath there at the laundromat. So round she goes now, flipping, slapping, looking clean, but not too happy. Why would you do that?
Okay.
Noisy day. Let's have one day for girls and boys when you can make the greatest noise. Scratching, screaming, hollering, yelling, buzzing, buzzer, clinging bells, sneezing, hiccup, whistle, shout, laugh until you lungs wear out, toot a whistle, kick a can, bang a spoon against a pan, sing yodels and yell hymns, blow horns, beat a drum, rattle a window, slam a door, scrape a rake across the floor, use a drill, drive a nail, turn the hose on the garbage pail, shout yahoo, hooray, hooray, turn up the music all the way, try to bounce your bouncing ball, ride a skateboard up the wall, plump your food with a smack and a slump, chew, crump, hiccup, burp. One day a year, do all of these. The rest of the days, be quiet, please. That's a good one. Diving board. You've been up on the diving board, making sure that it's nice and straight. You've made sure that it's not too slick. You've made sure you can stand the width. You've made sure that the spring is tight. You've made sure that the clothes won't slip. You've made sure that it bounces right, and your toes can get a grip. And you've been up there since 5:30. Done everything but dive. Safe. I look to the left. I look to the right. Before I ever move my feet, no cars go to the left, no cars go to the right. I guess it's safe. I cross the street. No thanks. No thank you. No, I do not want a kitten. No cute cuddle kitten poo. No more long hairs in my cornflakes. No more midnight meowing mew. No more scratching, snarling, spitting. No more soft cuddles in the room. No more smells of kitten litter. No more mousy in my bed. No, I will not take that kitten. I've had lice and I've had fleas. I've been scratching and spraying and bitten. I've developed allergies. If you've got an ape, I'll take him. If you have a lion, that's fine. If you brought some walking bacon, leave him here. I'll treat him to mine. I have room for mice and gerbils. I have beds for boars and bats. But please, please take away that kitten quick, for it becomes a cat. Well, it's kind of cute at that. This one's called advice. William Tell, take your arrow, grip it well. There's the apple, aim for the middle. Oh, well, you just missed by a little. This one's called Nope. I put a piece of cantaloupe under the microscope. I saw a million transient things creeping. I saw a zillion weird things creeping. I saw some green things I twisted and blended. I won't eat cantaloupe again. This one's called Waste Paper. Wastebasket, brother.